We're opposing it because we think it's very deceptive in how it's written to the voters. We think the voters deserve clarity and truth in what they're voting on. And we have seen evidence of voters that clogging my inbox saying, hey, I wanted to vote for a pro-solar amendment, and instead I voted for Amendment 1, and now what I'm hearing is that it's an anti-solar amendment. So really what we hear about is clarity.
And that clarity and what you're describing as deception is something that the Florida Supreme Court might take another look at, because yesterday some groups who are opposing Amendment 1 are asking the court to look at it again.
Exactly. And although we're not a party as the national organization to that suit, we support the fact that the language should be clear to the voters, and especially in amending the Florida's Constitution, that they understand what they're voting for.
And part of the reason that they're bringing the suit is that this tape emerged from the James Madison Institute, where the gentleman, the vice president there, was saying that they could use political jiu-jitsu. He said, use the language of promoting solar and kind of put it on these protections for consumers that choose not to install rooftops. And so these protections for consumers who choose not to use solar is one of the sticking points. And in a statement to the Miami Herald, the industry, the Florida Power and Light, said that they're concerned about subsidies that benefit certain customers on the backs of other customers. And they give the examples of rebates and net metering. So it sounds like the Amendment 1 would try to somehow restrict rebates to solar customers and net metering. What are those two things, and do you think that they should be restricted?
They certainly shouldn't be restricted, and I think what you're seeing is the more time goes on, the more the true motives of the utilities in this are coming to light. I mean, they're just digging themselves deeper and deeper into the hole here. What was originally posited as a pro-solar amendment, I think is now coming clear that the true issue behind this has nothing to do with giving the people of Florida more rights to go solar or make it easier for them to go solar. Instead, it's a more arcane debate having to do with things like net metering, which is a billing mechanism used across the country, or certain rebates, which might be available or might not in the future to Florida residents. In fact, I think what you're seeing with this, what I see is an admission by the utilities in that statement that what's really behind all of this is the fact that net metering is a concern to the utilities. Shows that this is part of a national issue that's spanning from Nevada to Arizona, across the country, where our organization, SEIA, is currently engaged against the utilities to make sure that net metering as a concept is available to the people of that state. In Florida, there is net metering, and we see this as sort of a little bit of an insight into what the utilities are really trying to do with Amendment 1, which is restrict net metering, which would really hamper the ability of people to go solar.
Without using the jargony terms, what is net metering? It's kind of a way of telling how much solar power you're generating at your house and getting a credit for that solar power when it feeds back to the grid.
Right. Net metering is sort of a fundamental component, a fundamental right of the people who are going solar across the country. It makes it more affordable by having the excess energy that you generate on your rooftop when you're not there, when you're at work, or you're out shopping, whatever it is. That power can then be sent back into the grid and you get credit for it. Without net metering, you are getting no credit for that excess electricity that you're producing, which then flows into the grid and winds up powering, say, your neighbor's house. So really, it's an issue of parity and making sure that you as a homeowner who's invested in a solar system that's generating electricity to power your home and others are getting a fair deal.
So let's cut to the chase here. If someone you represent the solar industry, you have the motivation to increase the amount of solar power that's on people's rooftops. If people share your views, how would you recommend that they vote on Amendment 1?
Well, they absolutely should vote no on Amendment 1. And we're coming at this, as you said, as the National Trade Association. We're here to promote solar. We're doing it for many reasons. We're a nonprofit organization. We want to see solar grow across the country to grow jobs, to grow economic benefits for national security, and to mitigate climate change. We think Florida being 15th in the country right now is not where it needs to be. I think it's got enormous potential to be up in the top five, if not the top three, within the next 5 years. And this amendment is sort of it's a shame. It's a setback where we could be focusing our attentions in Florida on how to advance solar rather than, burden it.
And finally, the backers of Amendment 1 say that the people who choose not to put solar on the rooftops shouldn't subsidize those who do. Your response?
This is an issue that comes up in every single state, and it really becomes a battle of the studies. What I mean by that is all studies show that there's some costs and some benefits to the entire system, the entire sort of ecosystem of the grid, if you can imagine that, by putting this new cutting-edge technology of solar on a rooftop. Who benefits? You know, where are the costs? Each study shows something slightly different, but many studies show that the benefits outweigh the costs. That when you put solar on your house, what you're really doing is you are offsetting for the utility the costs of having to put, say, a new substation in your neighborhood because you're providing new power. These studies promoted by the utilities, or some promoted by the solar companies, or some by independent universities, et cetera, come up with a range of different costs and benefits. But those are the costs and benefits that need to be decided and discussed by the PUC here in Florida, or at, you know, in the governor's office, at the energy office, to figure out what's really the best measurement for if somebody wants to go solar, what sort of compensation they should get for the electricity that they're producing. It's not as black and white as utilities are making it sound, that it's a subsidy. It's not a subsidy at all. It's just a simple billing mechanism.
Great. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks for allowing me to be here.